Hello, how are you? I noticed the room's a little light tonight, maybe because it's Easter Sunday. Hopefully people will show up with for our satsang, which is following this in half an hour. But if not, of course, it will be recorded and posted. But I'm looking forward to our satsang. As Ken mentioned, I am here now for the Seven Steps to Awakening. And tonight I'm going to begin, I think briefly, we'll see what happens though, you never know till I start talking. But I think I'm going to begin briefly with quote 761. Because I really covered quote 761 last week, except that I never went and read the journal. So I want to get that in, and then we'll move on to 762. So for those of you who are interested in reading along with the journal, let me go ahead and give you the link to 761. I have just pasted that in the room. And we're going to start with a song, like we always do. This song is, it really goes along with the teaching that I did this morning in the Awakening Together Sanctuary about perception. The name of the song is The Play, and so it talks about seeing perception as a play. It's kind of an interesting song to me. It kind of starts to me pointing in one direction and ending in another. Maybe all the directions really point in the same way, I suppose. But, well, let me just play the song and let you all see what you think. So this is, again, Peter Mayer. I played his song Holy Now this morning. This is called The Play.
Strike me as more unlikely.
That kind of took a twist is because, of course, he's singing about, you know, his the miracle of the world. And he is singing about how perception is false, because he says at first he imagines that the sky is down and that he'll fall into the sky. And then he realizes the world is round and it is spinning round and round. And depending on where he is on the planet, the sky could be down or could be to the side or whatever. So he talks about how perception is false. But he goes, even though he talks about how perception is false, he continues just about how magnificent it is, you know, how amazing it is, kind of like his song Holy Now. But then at the end he says, wow, you know, maybe it's just a play. Maybe I'm a character in the play, but maybe I am also the watcher in a front row seat. And, of course, I talked about that this morning, how we're all the watcher in a front row seat in this four-dimensional movie. So it's pretty good. It's a pretty good little song. I enjoy it. That was Peter Mayer. And, again, the name of the song was The Play. All right. Yeah, Peter Mayer, The Play. All right, so I don't have as much time tonight because we have a satsang in about 20 minutes, which is really exciting. So let me just jump right in. Last week I did talk a lot about quote number 761, but let me just review that quote, and then let's look at the journal, because in spite of all of the talking that I did last week about quote 761, I never got to the journal. So let's do that now. Here's quote 761. Among human beings, there are liberated ones, but they are extremely rare. And we talked a lot about this last week. You know, we talked about it in conjunction with quote number 760, that the reason liberated human beings are extremely rare is because they're tempted away from the path by their own vanities and desires, right? So people are more focused on the world, more focused on the thought of the ego thought system than they are on awakening, or than they are on paying attention to the self, right? They're just focused in a different direction. So, again, quote 761, among human beings, there are liberated ones, but they are extremely rare. Now, what we didn't do last week was read the journal entry, so why don't we do that? This is the journal entry. It defines liberation. Liberation is free from ignorance. Liberation is free from confusion. Liberation is free from any attachment, open to spontaneous realization, action, and movement. You know, it kind of reminds me of the name of a movie from my childhood, My Name is Nobody, starring Henry Fonda. My name is nobody. That's liberation. When my name is nobody, I am liberated. Right? Liberation is free from ignorance. Liberation is free from confusion. Liberation is free from any attachment, open to spontaneous realization, action, and movement. My name is nobody. And as I mentioned, we talked about 761 last week, so all I really wanted to do today was make sure that we got to that journal entry. But now I'm going to move right on to 762. And again, for those of you who are interested in reading along with me in my journal, here is a link to the post 762. All right. And here's the quote. Though the body is experienced to be real, it does not exist in truth. Though the body is experienced to be real, it does not exist in truth. And although we weren't specifically talking about the body this morning, we were talking about perception in general. In a way, we talked about this. We talked about how in NTI, it refers to the world or it refers to perception as an experience. And of course, we know that many teachings refer to the world or refer to perception as an illusion or a dream. And if we think about it, you know, when we have those nighttime dreams while we're asleep, we do experience them, but they're never real. Right? You know, you could be dreaming anything. You could be anywhere. You know, one place that I used to live was Okinawa, Japan. And I really loved Okinawa. I loved living there. I loved the experience of it. And this is when I was in the Air Force. And after about 2.5 years there, I received orders to leave. I was being moved to Berlin, Germany. And I really didn't want to leave Okinawa. At that point in my life, I thought I wanted to stay and make my life in Okinawa. And the fact that I had no choice about that, it appeared I had no choice about that. The Air Force was forcing me to go to Berlin. I mean, I just cried and cried and cried. And in a way, there wasn't a sense of closure. And so what happens, I think, is every now and then, you know, every, you know, couple of years or so, I will have a dream where I'm back in Okinawa. And when I was in Okinawa, my friends, my closest friends were Okinawans. And so in my dream, I'm looking for my friends. But you know how it is when you go back to a place 20 or 25 years later, everything has changed. It's like that in my dream. Everything has changed. Nobody's where they were at. And I'm just trying to really search and find my friends. And, you know, if I find one of my friends, I'll have this great sense of happiness. If I can't find them, I have this sense of lack, this real sense of lack, like something's missing. But whether I find them in the dream and I just feel really happy to see them again, or whether I don't find them and I feel that sense of lack, I wake up and I'm in my bed. You know, so I had this entire experience of going back to Okinawa and having, you know, whatever experience that particular dream was, but then I wake up. And I didn't go anywhere. I hadn't gone anywhere, right? That's the way a dream is. It's an experience, but it's not real. I didn't go back to Okinawa, right? Well, this is what the quote is saying about the body. Though the body is experienced to be real, it does not exist in truth. Though the body is experienced to be real, it does not exist in truth. So why don't we look at my journal and find out what came to me as I contemplated this on October 8th, 2013. And what I see here are some questions. So it looks like I practiced inquiry, contemplative inquiry, as I contemplated this quote. What am I? In the most direct experience of myself, am I a body? Is there any part of myself that I experience more directly, more closely than my body? My first answer to the question, yes, my mind feels closer than my body. Compared to my mind, my body feels distant. Now, I suspect that as we move forward, I'm going to continue this inquiry and go even deeper than this. But at this point in the inquiry, what I'm doing is I'm looking at the body, which, you know, if we aren't paying much attention, the body feels like me. Right? This is who I am. That's how we see ourselves. But when I was really contemplating and starting to go inward, starting to go backwards, and I said, is there anything that really feels closer to what I am, or more directly, more closely me than the body? The first thing that showed up was the mind. The mind actually feels more like me than the body. The thoughts are much closer than the body itself. And, you know, one example of this that's coming to mind is, I can't think of the word. But, you know, I used to have this friend when I was in the Air Force, when I was in Berlin after Okinawa, who thought she was very, very fat. Anorexia, that's it. She thought she was very, very fat, but actually she didn't eat more than 200 calories a day. And so as a result, she was skin and bones. She was literally a skeleton. She, you know, if you saw her legs, she looked like, or her back, you know, she looked like one of those starving people whenever there's a, whenever there's some kind of a famine, like when in Ethiopia or somewhere, and they showed the pictures of the starving kids, and they're just skin and bones. That's what my friend looked like. She was literally just skin and bones. But she thought she was fat. And when you would tell her that she was not fat, she would not believe you. She would not believe you. She would not believe you. So that's an example of how the thoughts are kind of closer than the body. Because the thoughts can form our perception of the body. Therefore, the body has to be a step further away from what I am than the mind. The mind is actually closer. So, as I was looking at this, that's what I noticed. Again, the quote says, though the body is experienced to be real, it does not exist in truth. And so I'm just practicing inquiry because, again, I don't want to believe anything. I want to have my own direct experience of truth. I want to do my own inquiry, my own looking. So instead of saying, oh, yeah, I am not a body. I am real. I am still as God created me. Instead of just saying this, you know, I started to look. Is that true? Is it true that I'm not the body? Is there anything that's closer to what I am than the body? Right? Let's look at this journal entry again. What am I in the most direct experience of myself? Am I a body? Again, what am I in the most direct experience of myself? Am I a body? Is there any part of myself that I experience more directly, more closely than my body? Yes, my mind feels closer than my body. Compared to my mind, my body feels distant. And so now I'm just going to move right on to quote number 763, because like I said, I suspect this inquiry is going to continue. I don't think that was the end of it. So quote 763 says, you are not this little personality. And you can see how the quote gives me the ability to continue deeper in the inquiry, right? 762 was basically saying you are not the body. And now 763, you are not this little personality. So let's look at my journal. What am I in my most direct experience of myself? Am I my mind? Is there any part of myself that I experience more directly, more closely than my mind. Yes, there is myself, which I cannot see, but I am and see from. From here, I see the mind. From this, even the mind is an object observed and interacted with from somewhat of a distance. The mind is not directly experienced as I am directly experienced without any sense of separation. And what's being called here, I am, right, is really that awareness in this case, that awareness. I am this awareness. I am this which is looking at the mind. I am this which is looking at the thoughts, right? So in just a couple of inquiries while contemplating quotes in the Seven Steps to Awakening, I really saw that the body, although I experience the body as me, right? I go to the bathroom with this body. I shower this body. I eat and fill up the tummy on this body. If this body gets injured in some way, you know, I'm aware of that pain, right? As we could say, you know, from the song, the play that we played at the beginning, when he said, is it possible that I'm in a front row seat? You know, this body is my front row seat for the play, right? This body is my front row seat for the play. But as I did the inquiry, I saw that the body was not intimately me. I saw that the mind is actually closer to me. Not that the mind is me, but the mind is actually closer to me than the body. And then as I really looked at the mind and began to inquire about that, is there anything even closer to what I am? Anything closer to me than the mind? You know, I found what I just called myself, but I found this which is looking out at the mind, this which is looking and sees the mind, is aware of the mind. This is intimately me. In fact, I can't separate myself from this looking. Right? That puts the body, you know, you would call it two layers out. The mind is one layer out, and the body is two layers out. So what I'm able to see is that there is a me. There is something that I am that is not the body and not the mind. And I'm able to see it. That's what's important about this inquiry process. I'm able to see it. I'm not just believing it because I read in A Course in Miracles, I am not a body. I am free. I am still as God created me, right? You know, these aren't just words that I learned and that I'm repeating, you know, as people say, like a parrot. This is something I actually went in and looked at. I found myself and I could see that I was not the body, although I experience the body, and I could see that I am not the mind, although the mind, you know, seems to be right there, very, very close, pretending to be me, right? That's what the mind is doing, pretending to be me. So let's look at these two quotes again, and let's just read these two journal entries one more time together, because they really are one inquiry, even though I seem to write them out as I contemplated two quotes. So we'll look at them together. First, let me read the two quotes, 762 and 763. Though the body is experienced to be real, it does not exist in truth. And 763, you are not this little personality. Again, 762, though the body is experienced to be real, it does not exist in truth. And 763, you are not this little personality. Now let's go to my journal, starting with journal entry 762. What am I in the most direct experience of myself? Am I a body? Is there any part of myself that I experience more directly more closely than my body. Yes, my mind feels closer than my body. Compared to my mind, my body feels distant. And now the journal entry for 763. What am I in my most direct experience of myself? Am I my mind? Is there any part of myself that I experience more directly, more closely than my mind? Yes, there is myself, which I cannot see, but I am and I see from. From here, I see the mind. From this, even the mind is an object observed and interacted with from somewhat of a distance. The mind is not directly experienced as I am directly experienced without any sense of separation. And what's interesting about this, I'm calling it directly experienced, but what's interesting about this is that when we pay attention to what we are, which right now I'll call the watcher, the looker, where we see from, when we pay attention to what we are, in a way you could say that it's a non-experience. It's subtle or it's clear. It's clear. You know, it's clear rather than, emotions. Emotions, although they're not solid things like my desk, emotions most definitely have a solidity to them, right? When you feel fear, that feels very, very solid. When you feel guilt, that feels very, very solid. It's not the same kind of solidity as the desk, but it feels solid. Sometimes it even feels like something you can't see through, right? Haven't you felt so guilty that it felt like you couldn't see through the guilt? Or so shameful or so fearful that it felt like you couldn't see through the shame or see through the fear, right? It seems very solid. But by contrast, the self is very, very clear, very, very empty, very, very open, right? Some people call it qualityless, qualityless. So you can't arrive at the realization of the self with thinking. Because thinking is looking for an object to identify with, to attach to. And what I am, what you are, is objectlessness. Objectlessness. So when we practice inquiry and we start asking these questions, we don't want to use the intellectual mind to think through the possible answers. We need to learn to use looking. It's an inner intuitive looking. An inner intuitive looking, and this is what I was doing in the inquiry, starting with the body, is am I the body? Is there anything that's closer and feels more intimately me than the body? And as I looked with that intuitive looking, I found the mind. Yeah, the mind feels closer. The mind feels more me than the body. All right, so let's look at this then. Is what I am the mind? Is that as close as I can get to a me, to a real me? Or is there something that's even more directly experienced? You know, and again, you can't think about this. You have to look. Is there something more directly me? And this is when this realization, intuitive realization of what I am, which again is objectless, comes. I can, in a way, without being able to see myself, you can't see yourself like an object, but in a way, without being able to see myself, I perceive myself, I become aware of myself. And I'm out of time, so I just want to quickly say that only comes about through looking. So if you're still thinking, start practicing looking. Practice the skill of looking. This is how you find the self. And I will release the mic. Thanks for hanging out with me. Bye.